Welcome to your Spiritual Besties podcast. I'm Lauren Ledoux.
And I'm Rashida McCoy. We're here to laugh, cry, learn, and connect with you.
We discuss anything and everything from our everyday lives to the magical, mystical, and woo-woo.
So take a deep breath, grab a cup of tea,
and set an intention to receive, because you deserve it, bestie. Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's episode of Your Spiritual Besties. It's just Lauren here right now. Rashida is doing her momming. Sometimes kids come in with very important emergencies. This one today is putting Moana on TV for her four-year-old, Maciana. I love Moana. It is one of my very favorite movies. And my husband says it's one of his very favorite soundtracks as well. My daughter Gemma loves Moana so much, although she's taking a pause from it. Every time I try to put it on, she says, no, Anna. But I think like so many people resonate so much with the movie because one, Moana is a strong female character. Two, she has this like super strong sense of dharma or purpose. And three, she is incredibly brave and courageous, following her heart, following her ancestry to save her people and really to like be in her purpose. So we love it, love it, love it over here. This is not an advertisement for Disney or Moana. But I'd say if you're someone who doesn't have a kid, so you haven't watched the movie, to do it and let us know what you think. So speaking of purpose, we have a beautiful guest here with us today who is deep in her purpose and serving so many others with it. So we have Petia with us today. Petia is an abundance and light activation coach who guides women to intuitively connect with their inner vision so they can experience personal and professional magnetism and become unapologetically abundant. Her mission is to empower visionaries who are on the path to embody their fullest self-expression, to soulfully expand into a quantum leap in all dimensions of their lives. Petia gives immense clarity and exact steps to unlock women's divine feminine and abundance mindset through subconscious work as a certified breathwork facilitator, Reiki, NLP, and human design practitioner. She leads her 6- and 7-figure clients to the next level in life and in business. If she's not interviewing fellow experts on her podcast, Unapologetically Abundant, traveling the world with her husband, hosting retreats, or reading, you will find her in nature, disconnecting from the world, connecting even deeper to herself. Welcome, Petia. We are so happy to have you here.
I am welcome. So happy to be here this morning. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And hi, Rashida.
Hi, I'm back.
Moana, it's on.
Moana is on. Snacks are given. We got our sippy cup. We're good to go. We're ready.
Learning so much from you ladies already.
Take notes. Petia, we love to ask our guests, what is spirituality to you?
The first thing that really comes to my heart is a deeper connection, you know, because I feel like we are so programmed to be just looking at what is outside of us and just following other people's paths. And I feel like spirituality really helps us to connect to something deeper through ourselves. It's not through outside, like it comes from within. So I feel like spirituality really helps us remind who we are. And there is so much more than just this 3D world that we were conditioned to believe in and hustle in. So I feel like it's really just a deeper connection to yourself and to whatever you believe, source, universe, God. It's knowing that there's so much more than we can even imagine.
Yeah, I love how you said it helps us know who we are. It's so true, which honestly brings me back to Moana.
Oh my God, don't get me started on Moana right now. I am like, Lauren, how long have I said we've been watching Moana like twice a day now?
Yeah,
like weeks. There's so many like hidden gems. What are you going to connect right now, Lauren?
Well, I already talked about it in the intro. You missed it today, but she has such faith in herself and in her ancestry. that she is relentless about discovering who she is and then following through with her dharma, which is like such a beautiful thing. Which brings me, Petya, to know, like, what is your hero's journey? How did you go from where you started to where you are now, serving so many?
I love this question, you know, because I feel like it's so easy for people to look at us, who we are being today and what we are doing today, and just really don't see the full path, don't see like the what we had to experience, right? So for me, it's now I can be smiling like when I look back, you know, because I look back and I just see a girl from very small town, very small country with unpronounceable name to anyone. It's just like a part of my like bio and intro, because no one can pronounce it. No one can even like place like where I was born, you know, unless like travelers, right? So I grew up in scarcity. And when I say scarcity, it's different than poverty. Like, I want to bring that up. It's not like I lived in a tent and I didn't have, you know, like my family didn't have money for food, not that. But scarcity of like love and the affection and just that warm. And you both are moms, so you understand like that warm feeling of I am wanted. I'm desired. I'm meant to be here. So my parents were working a lot. My stepfather was, you know, physically and mentally abusive to me, not to my younger brother. It just made me feel that there is something wrong with me. Because if there wouldn't be, why would people who are closest to me treat me this way? And so I learned from very young age, one, people please, you know, any recovering people pleasers here, right? And two, it was just like outsourcing my happiness, outsourcing my worthiness. And that was happening up until I would say around, you know, my Saturn in return, you know, when I learned about it a few years ago, I was like, that makes so much sense. Like, everything when I was like 28, 29, everything crumbled and I just couldn't keep going the way I was going. And everything had to start changing because I was struggling with eating disorder for almost 2 decades, harming myself, harming my body, toxic relationships, abusive partners, undercharging everything I was doing in jobs and things like that. So really not seeing my worthiness, really not seeing myself, like, why am I even here? Which led me when I was 18 to attempt a suicide, because I was thinking back then to myself, if this is life, I don't want it, you know, so depression, anxiety. And I felt like I was always running. And I was thinking that when I change something on the outside, I will feel better. And what I had to learn is that wherever you go, there you are. So it didn't matter that I changed a city, a country. I lived in London, I lived in Spain, you know, 13 years in the United States, 14 months in Mexico. And it was just this running away and being scared. So when I was 28, that's when the thing started to change, because I'm like, if something doesn't change, I can't do this. And thankfully, I found Louise Hay and, you know, Gabby Bernstein, Dr. Wayne Dyer, and you know, it's just these people who brought me hope, the people who went from struggling, from hardship, like Dr. Joe Dispenza or Tony Robbins. And I look at them as like, wow, they created this life and their life sucked when they were like growing up or teenagers. Why not to me? Mm-hmm. And that's when things started to change. And that's when I started my spiritual and my personal development, to stop outsourcing from the outside and asking people, who should I be so they like me, and reconnecting to myself, reconnecting to my soul. Who am I really? And why did I come here? Without questioning myself, but with a curiosity. I love that you said it at the beginning, like you both are curious. And I feel like it's such a gift to be curious and in that childlike wonder, which might be easier for you now with the little girls, you know, like really stepping into that curiosity and observation instead of inner critic and judging and outsourcing.
So when you really decided to like come from a place of curiosity, I know you said you had your attempted suicide and then you saw these people who, you know, came from nothing or hardship and then they had something. What was it like that? You said a couple of names, but what was it? What was that trigger? I always feel like there's like this one particular catalyst moment that you're like, hell yeah, this is where it's at. This is what I'm doing. And I don't give a fuck about what anyone else says. What was that moment for you?
So I feel like the first trigger that it was such a slap in the face when I like discovered Louise Hay and I started to listen to her recordings on YouTube. And in one of the recordings, she said, go to the mirror and say, I love you. And I didn't even lift my butt because I'm like, I don't even like myself. But that was the first time that I said it out loud. And it was like, oh my gosh. Like, I'm still having like goosebumps. And this is like, you know, like decade later, because I'm like, wow. So I'm expecting people to like me. I'm expecting people to love me. And I'm treating myself this way. And I don't even like myself. Mm-hmm. So I started like very gently, just, I couldn't say I love you. I just couldn't. Like, that would be like so dishonest. And it was like so heavy. But what I started with is once she says, like, if you don't love yourself, you can just say, like, I'm willing, you know, I'm willing to embrace myself. I'm willing to accept myself. So it did help to me. But like vocally saying it or thinking it, it just didn't feel like a truth for me. And so what I started to do is just anytime that I pass a mirror, I would wink at myself. You know, it was just like the path of least resistance. So I feel like that was like the first like trigger slap in my face. I'm like, oh, damn, I gotta change something. And then I feel like the another big one was I was married. I got divorced and then I was dating a guy for almost 5 years. And like 4 years in, like, you know, like I was expecting like big gesture or something, you know, proposal or whatever. And instead of that, and that's funny because I'm just realizing it was like a few days before my birthday, which is tomorrow, actually. I received a very long and very detailed email from his lover that he was sleeping with for 3 years, like so many details. But this allowed me to first time in my life to trust my intuition, because like the 3 years before we went to a club, you know, we lived in Las Vegas. His friend was manager in a club. We always get a great pool, drinks, blah, blah, blah. And back then he was talking with a girl, nothing else, just sitting and talking. I started crying out of nowhere. And I couldn't understand it. And he was like, you're hysterical. You're dramatic. He was pissed at me. Let's go home. Like, why are you making scene? Like, I would never betray you, blah, blah, blah. And I find out, of course, you know, in the email, that was the night that they met the first time. My intuition knew. Mm-hmm. And she told me. And when I realized that, like, I gave him like a second chance and a few months, of course it didn't work out, thankfully, thank God, didn't work out, because I'm happily married and pregnant now with my husband, who treats me like a queen, and it's really faithful, loyal man, very supportive. So I'm super happy that sometimes we don't get what we want, right? Like the bubble of protection. But that was when I realized I really have to trust what I feel, what I see, how my intuition feels in my body. And it was just so like heart opening. And of course, it took me a few months to like integrate it and start trusting it. Then I started to see someone and I started to feel like, oh, he's treating me like a goddess. He's, you know, giving me massages, bringing me flowers, doing dinners. Then I find out I wasn't his only goddess. I'm like, we gotta break this pattern. And that was the moment when I really decided to devote to myself, to become the best lover I ever had, devote myself to fully to my growth, because I lost myself, you know, I lost the sense of who I am, and I stopped listening to my intuition, to my body, in order to please the man, yeah, good girl, to be the good girlfriend. So that was the moment, Rashida, when I'm like, hell no, I am not doing this ever again. I will rather be alone than feeling this way. And it's not the man. You know what? It's not like men are bad, men are cheaters. It was the way I saw myself. It was the way I treated myself that allowed them to just do whatever they wanted to do and just attract. I'm like, oh, better to be with kind of okay men than being alone. No, 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 no. So that's when I shifted, changed treating myself differently, started to bring in the feminine energy, started to bring in the embodiment. And that's when I attracted my husband 5 years ago.
Oh my gosh. Okay. We're going to get into what you do now, but like these two like stories. Okay. When you told me about, Lauren, I know you're here, but I'm so in right now. Lauren, when you told us, Patia, that you could not say, I love you, look in the mirror and say, I love you. Like I literally have this like full body, like emotional experience, because that was me as well. I remember there was a point in my life not too long ago, right, that I realized I wasn't really like looking at myself in the mirror. Like I was like looking to make sure I didn't have anything in my eyes, and like my nose was good, like my face was clean. I was looking that way, but like really like looking at myself and seeing me for who I am, I realized that I was not doing that. And Patia, I had to ask the same question, like, why is this so hard? Right. So when you said that, like, I totally resonated with that moment as well. And then you were talking about these men, and I'm so glad that you like brought up the fact that it's not the guys. Like, you know, we like to so often like put that on someone else. But when we like really stand in our power and take that back for ourselves, you said, oh man, so good. You said, I truly became devoted to being my best lover. You know what? It's, I just told Lauren this last week. I just started a book and I have to like, I listen to them from here and there, you know, outside of Moana. I can't remember the author's name, but it's called Pussy, A Reclamation. Oh my God. You've read it?
Yes, I did. A couple years ago. Yeah.
It's like, damn, where was this book when I was like in my early 20s? Like, and it's like the same thing. Like we got to like do our own thing first. Like we got to be our best version of ourselves. We got to know what power we have down here. Like look at her, like take her in, like this is our powerhouse. And it's like, okay, now I know. And you know, ever since reading this book, and I'm not even like halfway through, my husband Daniel's like noticed a little shift in me. So I'm like, there is really something about this part of ourselves that have been so like closed up, turned off, taught as disgusting. So I love when you said, you know, I became my best lover, because it's really true. Like the power, what we want, our vibration truly, like it's a word that gets thrown around, but truly you weren't in the right vibration for the man that you actually wanted. And he couldn't come to you because y'all weren't that energetic match. Oh, so powerful. Thank you so much for sharing your story. Lauren, do you have anything? I know I'm like getting and excited over here.
No, I love it. Yeah. And I've had the exact same experience as well, like with affirmations and looking in the mirror. I also have a history of eating disorders. And the first time I was introduced to affirmations was in the hospital. I was a teenager and I couldn't even look in the mirror and say any of that. I just thought like, this is so stupid. Like who actually would do this, and like who actually feels this way about themselves. And I loved later on Gabrielle Bernstein. I learned from her that I am willing. I love that like bridge between like not believing and like embodying the belief. It's like, well, I'm willing to believe this because I know like I sure as hell don't want to feel the way that I do right now. So I'm just feeling like such a common thread among, you know, the three of us, of course, but women in general, about not feeling enough, not realizing their own power, feeling that they need to get it from a man outside of them. And it's conditioned into us from birth. Like we watch, like we're talking about Moana, right? But that Moana didn't exist when we were little. It was like mm-hmm. the Little Mermaid and Cinderella and Snow White. Exactly.
We're just gonna lay there and wait for our prince to come and kiss us and take us. And even like laying there and waiting for his approval, like I'm not gonna get into this, but it's like, yes, it is conditioned, Lauren. It is conditioned.
Yeah. And it's not only from Disney movies, of course, it's culturally and it's pervasive, you know, all around the world, which brings me to like embracing the sacred feminine or the divine feminine. I know for me, growing up in like, you know, a American evangelical Christian household, the idea that like there's any kind of feminine in the divine was like completely life-changing for me and mind-blowing. And I was finally able to like see myself in God and God in me, or goddess, let's say. That's what I say now.
Yeah.
So Petya, I would love to know a little bit more about your embracing of the divine feminine and now how you wield her in your work.
Mm-hmm. I love that question. And I love that we all have the common thread, because I feel like what we get to realize that as women, we have so much more in common than different, right? And I used to grow up, you know, like with the cattiness and competition and comparing. And now it is so beautiful. And I'm so thankful to living in a times that we can come together and wanting each other to win, wanting each other to succeed, because that means that if you succeed, I can do that too. That's what inspired me on my journey. And again, I feel like bringing in the feminine, it's something that had to happen. And when we don't listen, it's like it's tapping on our shoulder and then it will just kick us, you know, to our knees. Like, hey, you don't listen. This has to happen. And I experienced it because most of my life, I didn't feel safe. So I was in my masculine. I was the provider. I was the protector for myself. And I thought that feminine is weak, that feminine, it's just, you know, not enough. But that's because, again, the conditioning that I saw in my mother, in my grandmother, you know, love them to life, and they never value themselves. They always sell themselves short. They always like people please and put their needs on the back burner. So it's conditioning from the womb, right? Because we feel everything that our mother feels. Our mother felt everything her mother felt. It's like generations backwards and forwards what we are feeling and how we are feeling. And so very often it comes even from the past lifetimes. Like when I work with my clients, like with the breath work or inner dance, like there are things that are coming up from their past lives that it's like, we are like, well, I'm doing all the work now. And it doesn't feel like it's anything is happening. It might be deeper than that. And with my feminine, I have another story. I love stories. I used to be, you know, years ago, I used to going to a school. I was getting my master's in business. I was going full-time to school, full-time to corporate job. And I also had a side hustle as social media marketing manager with my first company. And I also was a personal trainer because I used to do fitness competitions. So I was a personal trainer. So like my hands were super full. And I just like, when I was busy, I thought that I'm valuable and I'm worthy. So I always kept myself busy doing so much. And of course my body was suffering. Like, you know, like I wasn't well, I was always sick, always tired, always frustrated. And one weekend we went with my ex to his like cabin in at the mountains here in Las Vegas, and there was no reception, but there was a Wi-Fi. And I had like weekend planned, like I will work on my client stuff, and I had to like submit papers for my school. So everything was like planned, masculine, one focus, you know. We get there and there was no Wi-Fi. I completely freaked out, like completely. Like I had like a panic attack. Like my clients will fire me. I will not finish my school on time because I won't submit this one paper, and like complete meltdown. And back then I had my doggy with me and I'm like, okay, there's nothing I can do. So let me go to the nature. I went to walk, I went to nature, and I literally could feel like softening and melting and feeling nurtured by the nature and sitting by the water and seeing the wild horses. Like my nervous system just calmed down and I was able to like sit with me and receive the nature and just let her soothe me, let her love me. And it was this like beautiful motherly energy. And when I came back, the Wi-Fi was back on and I was able to like in just like a few hours to finish everything. And that's what made me realize the pushing, the forcing, the single masculine focus, it's not it. I get to bring in the softening. I get to bring in the allowing and the receiving. And again, like if we are not listening, like we'll be forced, you know? So that was like the first when I like experienced the taste of the feminine, the softening. And then the second time was when I traveled to Europe to visit my grandma. She transitioned a couple of years ago. And she was my soulmate. She was my best friend. I loved her to life. And we were very, very, very close. So when I went to, you know, Europe to see her, I was with her like, you know, like month and a half, 2 months, just like really spend the time with her. And in the past, I would like freak out, like, oh, we'll be with her and like FOMO, you know, like clients won't come and I will miss out. But that time I really allow myself to be present, to slow down, to like just be me and to show up with how I felt. And that was the first month that I made my five figures and I never worked less. And that was just like, wow, so I don't need to work hard. I don't need to hustle, like really. So it was really just like sprinkling in and learning to create the spaciousness and connect to the senses, connect to my body. Because, you know, when I used to go to Europe, it's very sensual trip in the sense that, you know, I go there in summer or spring and everything is blooming and there is delicious fresh fruit that very often you cannot even get in States because, you know, like things don't have a taste here, but there's grandma's backyard with the, you know, pears and apples and raspberries and everything smells good. So it's very feminine, very sensual, very open. And so I really learned to like get into my body, get into my senses, be present and seeing to be even more richly rewarded that than when I'm only in my masculine. Of course, when you do the work, you will get paid. When you do the work, when you show up, you will get the results. But how does it feel? Are you checking off your list? Like most of my life, I was checking off the list and doing all the right thing, and it never felt right. It never felt fulfilling or fun or freeing. It was like, you have to do this to get this, and that's it. Well, when you step into your feminine, and again, masculine, it's not bad. Feminine, it's not be all, do all. How can we bring in the harmony? How can you create the state of when is the time to go and step into the masculine? When is the time to flow and embody your feminine?
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. There is like this cycle and this give and take in a way. And I appreciate you sharing that story. I'd love to know now, as an entrepreneur, someone who works with women, you know, I can absolutely relate. I still feel this tension sometimes where I like go too far in my masculine. And then even just like Sunday, I woke up with a stiff neck and my shoulder hurting. And I was like, okay, message received, body. I'm going to relax and receive. What kind of like awareness practices do you do now to be able to hold the capacity that you do hold?
I love the question so much. And what really feels good to me these days and what I'm practicing is starting my day with the feminine. Because in the past, I would like wake up, grab my phone, grab my laptop, check on my payments, check on my emails, and like being so much in my head. So I allow myself, and you know, like especially in pregnancy, you know, like being 6 months pregnant, like forget the first trimester. The first trimester, it's like, I don't want to be adulting. I just want to like get through this and not feel sick, you know. But pregnant or not, I just feel like pregnancy really showed me the beauty of the feminine and embracing it even more because I created practices of being in my feminine, being in my senses, being in my body upon rising every day. So I make sure that I create spaciousness for myself. And I know like some of you have a little kid, so you're like, yeah, spaciousness, good luck with that, right? Enjoy while it lasts. But I honestly feel that it doesn't matter if you have 2 hours like I have now, or if you have a 5 minutes, just waking up and connecting to your body, waking up and feeling your breath flowing through your body. You know, even if you're just in a shower, just close your eyes and feel the water, or just like put essential oils or some like natural creams on you. You know, it's the softening, it's the feminine, it's the being present and embodied, like connecting with the highest version of you. So I connect with her every day, and every day it's a little bit different. Sometimes I, you know, like take a shower. Sometimes I just, you know, breathe through my body. I do affirmations, meditations every morning. And then I journal. And I journal because I feel like when we write down things, it's like bringing the non-physical into the physical. And it's just like free flow. And there are like different practices that I do with the journaling, depending on what is important to me right now at this moment. So right now at this moment, I'm focusing on attracting my soulmate clients, because through the pregnancy, it really changed who I want to work with and what I'm available for and what I'm not. So that's what I'm practicing now. And also like really reminding myself of why am I an amazing mentor? Because sometimes when you're in your own bubble for way too long, you forget, right? So those are my practices in the morning. And then I step into the masculine. Then I look at what is on my calendar, what is on my schedule, what am I promoting today? What am I focusing on today? What is the like one thing, because we can always write a never-ending to-do list and then feel like frustrated in the end of the day. But I really ask myself, what is my top priority? If I do only one or two things in the end of the day, I will feel fulfilled. So I focus on those that will make the biggest difference or make everything else unnecessary. And then I step back into the feminine, into the receiving mode. So after the masculine, like there is like this conscious opening and closing my business, because we work from home, right? Many of us, not all of us, but you know, I work from home, and sometimes it's challenging because you can find yourself at 8 p.m. looking at your emails, right? Mm-hmm. So I like consciously open and close my business in a way, like I just light up the candle or incense. I'm like, okay, spirit of my business, I'm open now. And I open and then I close. And when I close, I ask myself, like, what am I allowing myself to receive? Is it receiving delicious food? Is it receiving foot massage? Is it receiving cuddles from my dog? Is it receiving walk in the nature? Is it receiving kisses? You know, it's like allowing yourself to be back and end the day in your feminine. It made a huge difference, not only for me and how am I feeling, and also like noticing, it's funny enough, usually like they're unexpected or sometimes expected money coming in usually when I'm in energetically receiving mode. It's not when I'm busy and working and doing throughout the day. It's when I like, okay, I'm in a space to receive. And that's when, you know, next day I'm like, oh, I receive a payment or a client send an application. So it's beautiful to have this, but it also like influenced and bettered my relationship with my husband. You know, because it's like, again, we can be in our masculine for the whole day and night is ending and you talk about your work and you're, you know, feeling stiff. And I feel like when we can soften in the feminine, it's beautiful for everyone.
I love that. So it sounds like creating boundaries for you has been really helpful, as well as like being very intentional about receiving and being in like sensuality. It's amazing. Like we could be receiving in every single moment because our senses are engaged and we're living lives as humans. But I think when we're so deeply in our masculine, we kind of cut that off. So like we could walk by a beautiful flower and not even notice it, or eat a meal without even tasting it the whole time. So those are all really beautiful reminders. And yeah, and it's going to be a dance too, once baby comes, I'm sure. Rashida and I have talked about this before, but you know, I've worked for myself for a long time. I had hours really to spend in self-care every day. And then suddenly everything changed all at once. So I like your reminder that you can take 5 minutes if that's what you have. And setting up those potent times of being present, of receiving, of being in the feminine is going to impact the rest of your day. So I really appreciate that. What's coming up for you, Rashida?
Yeah, no, just, I really liked when Batia, you said, you know, I energetically open and close my business. I never like thought about that. Like, that's really, really cool. And a great way to like close everything off. I was actually just talking to Lauren and telling her, like, I get most of my work done between like 8 p.m. and 12 a.m., which that's for me is great. The kids are down and I have that space, but maybe coming into that practice of like, really like, okay, this is my moment to like really being in my masculine, right? To really get work done, to be energized around that. And like having this like some type of ritual to like close it down, because you're right. I find myself getting in bed and my mind's still racing and everything like that. And so I just love like having that practice to be able to create those boundaries and, you know, shift, because we can get really, really stuck in the doing. I mean, me, been there, done that, like, and consistently throughout the day in the doing. And we're, you know, we are supposed to, like, I don't want to like say we're not, like, cause duh, like we have to, but also like really having that time to receive as well. And it's so hard because, you know, the conditioning part of ourselves, especially as femmes, we are supposed to be the givers all the time. We're supposed to give back and make sure everyone else is okay. So I like having that balance, that dance almost between both. And if anyone listening is like, what do they talk about masculine and feminine? We're not talking about genders. We're talking about energetics. So yeah, that's what came up for me.
Yeah. I love that being in the receiving mode, as like Abraham Hicks would say, makes you an energetic match to receive. So, you know, maybe you do all the action for your business and then you go out in nature and you fully let go. And then you check your email later and you have like a bunch of new sales. Doesn't that sound amazing?
So good.
So Patia, I would love to segue into more of your abundance work. So you work primarily with women in tapping into their abundance. What blocks, and we kind of touched on this, I think, but what blocks women from abundance?
I feel like, yeah, we touch on it. And you know, when I look at my life and my journey, and when I look at like my clients and their journey, I feel like it really all starts with the worthiness and not feeling worthy to be just enough. Just, you know, like who you are, it's enough. And I always like remind myself of this mantra that I created for myself a long time ago. It's like, you're perfectly made for your purpose. When you realize that, when you can really like grasp that, it's going to like open up so many possibilities, because you will stop trying to be like everybody else and modeling everybody else's success, but you define what real abundance means to you. For some, it can be like luxurious bags and Gucci, and you know, for me, that doesn't turn me on. I love, like, I'm Taurus in my sun sign, I'm Taurus, so I love comfort and I love beautiful things, you know. But for me, it's not like I'm striving for Louboutin's shoes, you know what I mean? So it's like, what is the abundance for you? For me, abundance, it's waking up every single morning in a place that I absolutely love, that I feel great about, and waking up without the alarm and having the freedom to be and do whatever I want, working with women who really light me up and inspire me and just remind me that what I am doing and who am I being, it's meaningful and it makes a difference. And having the freedom to like invest in the things that light me up. Like, I retired my mom. I was, you know, when my grandma was here, I was buying everything for her, like her groceries, her furniture, like everything. And I was so thankful I could do that, because that hasn't been always the case. When I was still, you know, working through my limiting beliefs of not seeing myself as lovable and worthy, I was undercharging and I was overworking, and I had to go through that sometimes, you know, back to Abraham Hicks, we get to experience the contrast to see what we don't want. So we know now even more clearly what do we desire and what do we want. And that was happening throughout my life with money, with relationships. So now, like when I'm activating abundance in other women, it's bringing them back to themselves. They don't come to me like, I want to be like Petya and I want to do everything she's doing. Well, that's my way. Yeah. That's my way and it feels good to me. So we go really deep into their healing, ancestral healing, and activating the abundance in them. So they really see themselves as worthy and they allow themselves to do it simply and easily. Because again, you can create abundance in your life and be working from I don't know where to I don't know when. It's not going to be fulfilling. And women that I work with, they want to have a free time and travel and be with their family and just be present and enjoy life versus just working all the time. So it's bringing them back to themselves, reconnection to their soul, reconnecting to their desires, and really seeing how they can be richly rewarded for being themselves. Mm-hmm. So many women that I connect with, they're still undercharging. And it's a couple of things that I'm seeing. One, when something comes to us easily as women, we feel guilty to charge for that. Like when women used to tell me in the past, like, oh, like, I feel so good to be around you. Like, you know, like, I'm like, what do you mean? Like, it was just like, oh, your energy is great. And I didn't get it back then. How can I charge for someone just to be in my presence and just to share things that work for me, right? So, you know, I used to, like, when I started my coaching, I was charging like $100 a session. You know, now I'm charging $1,500 a session. And it was a gradual growth because I could see how my life changed, how my clients' life is transforming, how they're getting. And it's not that they're getting 10 times their income, which, you know, happens and many times over, but I was seeing all their life changing, abundance in all of the areas, their health, their relationships, like how they're feeling in life, how they wake up, the energy they're having. It's so life-giving and they're feeling alive. So it's really activating that like abundance and possibilities for you in your own way, for your own people, doing it from place of soul.
I really love that because so often when we think about what we want, we have to look and there's a place like looking outside of ourselves, right? To kind of see, oh, that looks good. That's pretty. That looks awesome. But what I like about having like someone like you, like an abundance mindset coach, is you actually almost, and I wouldn't say handhold, but you hold that space to really allow a woman to sit with herself, not second guess, and like really like think about what is it? Like what is abundance to me? Because initially growing up, it's like abundance is having the money, having the cars, having the house, having all these things. And even for me, when I left my full-time corporate job, I knew I wanted to be home with my daughter. But in the back of my mind, it was like, oh, money. Never would I have ever thought at this point that I would rather have the time than the money. Back then, young Rashida had been like, what do you mean? Time, no money, but you can have both. And that's what abundance is to me. Like having the time, having the flexibility, allowing myself the space to like really truly be in my own energy and be me, not necessarily, you know, clocking in somewhere, walking away from my feeling. Like that is abundance for me. So really being able to like identify that, having someone to like help you through that, because again, all through our lives, we were taught abundance is supposed to look a certain way. Like this is how you win, right? This is you winning. And that's not the case. Abundance is like so unique. So I really like having someone like you to help women like really see that clearly. So thank you for stepping into this work. It's totally amazing and important and needed.
Thank you. Thank you so much for seeing me. And it's something that I had to learn to embody, you know, and like I said, like through the contrast, because like you said, like we are so conditioned of what success should look like. And it's the masculine way. you go to work, you work really hard, you climb the ladder, you know, you make more money and things like that. There's nothing wrong with that. If that's what lights you up and that's abundance for you, go for it. But the thing that we are also forgetting is that we have a different cycles and different rhythms because of our period, because of our connection and our cycle. We don't work the same way as men. We have different cycles, how we are working, you know? So there's a different energy. And it's so beautiful because, like, yes, I'm an abundance coach, but it's really holistic and overall. We're looking at women's hormones and how they can be working in their business and with their clients because, you know, like periods and hormones, they do influence us. Whether it's your period, whether it's your pregnancy, whether it's your postpartum, it's different. So what I'm teaching women is how to create a soulful success. In their life that feels so good and juicy that it's yours and it's your way. And I think it's just so life-giving.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love all of this so much, and I wish we had another hour to keep talking because this conversation is so juicy. But I would love to ask you, how can our listeners work with you?
So to work with me right now, I'm really focusing on one-on-one because that's what really lights me up. You know, I mentioned I'm into the human design and I'm a single definition. So I really love going deep and working one-on-one with women to help them to create abundance in their life in a very impactful way. And I also created a mastermind called Richly Rewarded because I realize that there are so many women who are powerful and beautiful, and they're not fully embracing all of their possibilities. So everything that I have learned on my journey for the past decade in my business, I'm teaching them and giving them everything so they can really create the soulful success in their life in a very safe, loving, supportive environment. So they have all the tools that helped me to create their own way of abundance.
And you've talked a little bit about some of the shifts that you've seen with your clients. I'd love to know maybe like your single biggest success story with the client.
It's so hard. Oh my gosh, that's so hard, like single. It's really hard because like I look at my clients and it's just so beautiful. So if I may, I would love to use like two different examples.
Sure. One abundance.
You cannot just stuck me in a box. And I want to be very respectful of our flow and time. So I feel like two women who like really came to my heart like right away. One was Candace, my client that I met a couple of years ago. And when I met her, she was working as an accountant and she was working like really hard in a corporate and she was making around $1,800 a month, working really hard. And she knew about like her psychic medium gifts, but she was not really like embodying it confidently. So we started to work on her like programs and her confidence and embodying and money mindset, relationships, struggles, because she was the one, and many of us did it. I did it too. She was the one who was waiting for a man to save her, you know, so she didn't want to like expand too much because like, what if my man doesn't like strong woman, right? So we had to clear all of that out. And now we're still working together, but now she has a business. She left her corporate, like, I think she left her corporate like month and a half of working with me, but she built her business. She has like signature programs and she's making multiple five figures now. She lived in beautiful like locations and created just so much freedom. And it's so beautiful to see her walking in her purpose, like really unapologetically, like she's really embodying her truth. So that would be one. And the second one, it was a beautiful example because my client Elizabeth, she was an artist. She is an artist. She's a painter. And when she hired me, she was like, I'm just like stuck with my finances. I want to make more money. I want to sell more. Like she hired me to make more money. And the funny thing is that she realized that the money was really just a cherry on the top. she realized what she had to change. It was her conditioning, because she grew up in very strict Catholic family, that there was like one way of living and she didn't want to live that way. And so we had to work on those like limiting beliefs, and she deepened her relationship with her parents that she never had like before. She was able to deepen her relationship with her partner without like getting married and doing it the right way. And after we did this, like it was like a couple months after working together, when she hired me, she had like money for the first month's payment. She was like, Petya, I don't know how I will pay for the second month. She was like, I don't have the money. I'll figure it out. 2 months working together, she made six figures through her sales. She never done that before in her life. She used to like struggle, you know? So it's just so beautiful to see, because she was like, oh my gosh, like I came here to make more money, but I received so much more. Like her self-expression, doing the things that she really loves, connecting with her family, rewriting all the generational patterns and beliefs, being in love with the man that she was like, can I do it? Can I do it? So she really created a rich life. And the money, it's fantastic. But if you have the money and your health and your relationship sucks, it's not going to be fulfilling. So I really love seeing my clients to changing in very holistic way. Like everything changes. So I feel like those would be like the two that come to my heart.
Yeah. I'd love to know. I know we're getting close to our time, but I always like to look at it from a lens of someone like who's new stepping into spirituality. What would make someone like that want to work with you? What would be the one thing that you're like, yes, you should come on board. Like I can totally help you with this. What would that be?
Oh, I love that. It's such a like deep breath question, you know? and you know, like I really feel that so often women, they're one in their masculine and they feel like there's something wrong with them. Something has to be fixed. Something has to be changed. Something is broken. And they feel like I need a strategy. You know, I need a strategy. Just tell me how to do it. I want to do it. But what I do with my clients is I create very loving, nurturing space when they feel safe, when they can get back to their truth and themselves. So I have the strategic side because, you know, I have my MBA, I have my marketing degree, been there, done that, but I'm blending it with the spirituality, with the inner connection, with the divine, with the beautiful modalities that I'm, you know, using Reiki, breath work, you know, inner dance. It's very beautiful and feminine, the connection. So I feel like to work with me is to transform completely your whole life.
Amazing. Well, Petya, thank you so much for being here and just letting us like see into, you know, really an abundance mindset coach and what that can do for us, and your stories and knowledge and wisdom and the common thread that you were able to like weave between not only like the three of us, but I'm sure there are so many other women who felt the same. We did have one more question for you. Would you be our bestie?
Of course.
Yeah, yes. Amazing. Well, we absolutely enjoyed this time with you, and thank you so much for connecting with us and sharing and being authentic. I think that allows other people to do the same, and we know that we can work with you one-on-one. Was there somewhere else that someone can get a little taste of what you have to offer as well?
Absolutely. So I love my Instagram. That's where I really am. You know, it's Petya Kolobova, my name. I know you will put it in the show notes because
yes.
I know how to pronounce it or write it. So looking at my Instagram, there are all the links, because people can look at my, you know, I have online courses, a richly rewarded mastermind. It's a beautiful way to like really start. And there's my podcast and free gifts that we have there. And so it's everything on Instagram or on my website, petyakolobova.com. And also, because I said, like, I don't know when this is launching, but right now, because I have such an amazing energy in my second trimester, I have created also space for free 30 minutes called Abundance Activation, because I'm really like devoted for women to create richness in their life, because I want more women to create more abundance and more money. so we can really focus on the things that matter to us. So I'll send you the link so you can also put it in the show notes for the 30 minutes free abundance activation call when women are really walking away, knowing their blocks, seeing their limitations, and having actionable steps on how to rewrite that.
Amazing. Thank you so much for that. I know our listeners will just love that. And thank you again for being here and showing up. We really appreciate you, Lauren, with the questions as always. You know how to tie it in and segue. And Patia, Lauren, y'all have a great day. And everyone at home, thank you so much for being here. We'll see you soon.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Thank you so much for having me and for the amazing work you're creating in the world. It's so beautiful and so needed. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us for this incredible episode. If you loved it, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and tell all your besties about us.
You can also connect with us on Instagram at Your Spiritual Besties Podcast. And be sure to say hello and share your thoughts about the episode. Love you, bestie. Talk soon.